Volume 4, Number 453. Nirgamala, Jesus entrusts the Church to the Blessed Virgin and speaks of mercy on oppressed people. Day is just dawning when Jesus awakes and sits up on his rustic bed made of earth and grass. He then stands up, picks up his sandals and the mantle with which he had covered himself as a protection from dew and the chill of the night, and cautiously steps over the tangle of legs, arms, bodies, and heads of the apostles asleep around him. He moves away a few steps with keen eyes to see where he lays his feet in the subdued gleam of dawn, which under the leafy trees is barely a feeble light. He arrives at an open meadow, from which, through an opening between trees and rocks, one can catch a glimpse of a little strip of a lake which is waking up and a large piece of the sky which is becoming clearer. Passing from the gray-blue hue typical of the vault of heaven at daybreak to sky blue, while to the east it is already fading into a light yellow shade which becomes more and more defined and deeper, changing into a rosy yellow and finally into a most beautiful pale coral hue. Dawn promises a lovely day, despite a very light haze which is reluctant to surrender the eastern sphere of the sky to daylight, and moves forward in such light veils of clouds that the blue sky does not suffer by it. On the contrary, it is embellished, as if it were an ornament of snow-white muslin fringed with gold and corals constantly changing, and becoming more and more beautiful, as if it were striving to reach the perfection of its fleeting beauty before being destroyed by daylight with its triumphant sunshine. To the west, on the other hand, a few stars are still visible, although deprived of their bright night twinkling as light increases, and the moon, about to set behind the tops of mountains, sails on looking very pale, with no moonbeams, like a dying planet. Jesus standing barefooted on the dewy grass, his arms folded across his chest, his head raised watching the rising day, is pensive, or is speaking to the Father in a spiritual conversation. There is dead silence, so much so that the large drops of abundant dew can be heard falling on the ground. Jesus, still standing with arms folded, lowers his head and becomes engrossed in an even deeper meditation. He is completely absorbed in himself. His magnificent wide open eyes are fixed on the ground as if they wish to wring a reply from the herbs. But I am sure that they do not even see the slow movement of stems quivering in the cold breeze of dawn, like people who wake up, stretch, turn round, stir themselves in order to awake completely and be thus alert in all their nerves and muscles. He looks, but does not see the awaking of herbs and wild flowers, with their little branches, leaves, corollas shaped like umbrellas, or growing in clusters, spikes, and tufts. Some of the flowers are isolated in calices. Some are shaped like radiant crowns or snapdragons, cornucopias, plumes, or berries. Some are stiff on their stalks, some are soft, hanging from stems which are not their own and round which they have twined. Some are lying and creeping on the ground. Some are grouped in families of many little, low, humble plants. Some are solitary, large, violent in hue and carriage. They are all intent on shaking off their petals the dewdrops, which they no longer want, eager as they are now for sunshine only, as whimsical in their desires as in their layout. They are thus very much like men who are never satisfied with what they have. Jesus seems to be listening, but he certainly does not hear either the rustling of the wind, which is becoming stronger and is amusing itself in shaking the dewdrops and making them fall, or the ever-increasing whispering of little birds, which are awaking and telling one another their dreams of the night, or are exchanging their views on the warm, canorous nests in which, among down and soft hay, nestling so far bare, are beginning to show plumage, or are opening their huge beaks wide, showing their greedy red throats, and screeching in their first exacting request for food. Jesus seems to be listening, but he certainly does not hear the first scoffing call of the blackbird, the first sweet song of the blackcap, or the golden trilled note of the skylark, which rises joyfully towards the early sun, or the shrieking which rends the quiet air of the many swallows which leave the rocks where they built their nests and begin to weave their untiring flights from the earth to the sky. Neither does he hear the wild cry of a magpie perched on a branch of an oak near him and seems to be asking, "Who are you? What are you pondering?" deriding him. Not even that interrupts his meditation. But who does not know that magpies are spiteful? This one, tired of seeing an intruder on the little meadow which is perhaps its territory, tears off the oak tree two lovely acorns joined on one single stem, and with the precision of a first-class shot, drops them on Jesus' head. It is not a heavy shell, capable of hurting, but taking into account the height from which it is dropped, it is sufficiently solid to shake the pensive one, who looks up and sees the bird, which, with its wings opened out and nodding in a funny way, rejoices at its shot. Jesus smiles gently, shakes his head. He sighs as a conclusion of his meditation, and he moves away, walking up and down. The magpie, with a laugh and a mocking cry, flies down to the meadow, flapping its wings, searching and scratching about the grass, freed from the intruder. Jesus looks for some water, but he does not find any. He resigns himself to going back to the apostles, but birds teach him where to find it. Flocks of them fly towards some very wide calyx-shaped flowers, which in actual fact are little cups containing water, or they alight on wide hairy leaves where each hair has retained a drop of dew, and they quench their thirst there or have their ablutions. Jesus imitates them. He collects in the hollow of his hands the water of some calyces and refreshes his face. He picks some wide hairy leaves, and with them he removes the dust from his bare feet. He cleans his sandals and puts them on, and with some more leaves he washes his hands until he sees that they are clean, and he smiles, whispering, "The divine perfections of the Creator." He is now refreshed, tidy, because with his wet hand he has tidied up his hair and beard, and as the first sunbeams turn the meadow into a mat studded with diamonds, he goes to wake up the apostles and the women. Both groups are hardly able to awaken, tired as they are. Mary is awake, but she is unable to move because of the little boy, who is sleeping clinging to her breast, with his little head under her chin. And the mother, on seeing Jesus appear at the entrance of the grotto, smiles at him with her kind blue eyes, while her face becomes rosy out of the joy of seeing him. And she frees herself from the child, who whimpers a little on being moved. She gets up and goes towards Jesus with her silent, slightly rolling gait of a modest dove. "May God bless you, son, today."
"May God be with you, mother.
Was the night unpleasant for you?"
"No, on the contrary, very pleasant. I seemed to have you, a little baby, in my arms. And I dreamed that a kind of golden river was flowing from your mouth, emitting such a sweet sound that it cannot be described. And a voice said," oh, what a voice, "'This is the word which enriches the world and gives beatitude to those who listen to it and obey it. Without any limitation of power, time, or space, it will save."
"Oh, my son, and you, my child, are that word. How will I be able to live so long
and to do so much as to be able to thank the Eternal Father for making me your mother.
Do not worry about that, Mother. Every beat of your heart pleases God. You are the living praise of God, and you will always be so, Mother. You have been thanking Him since you...
I do not seem to be doing it sufficiently, Jesus. It is so great what God did for me. After all, what do I do more than all these good women do, who, like me, are your disciples? Son, tell our Father to give me the opportunity to thank Him as His gift deserves. Mother, and do you think that the Father needs me to ask Him that for you? He has already prepared for you the sacrifice which you will have to consume for this perfect praise. And you will be perfect when you have accomplished it. My Jesus, I understand what you mean, but will I be able to think in that hour? Your poor mother. The blessed spouse of the eternal love, Mother, that is what you are, and the love will be thinking in you. You say so, Son, and I relax on your word. But you pray for me in that hour that none of these understands, and which is already impending. That is true, is it not?
It is impossible to describe the expression of Mary's face during this conversation. No writer can possibly translate it into words without spoiling it with mawkishness or uncertain hues. Only he who has a heart, a kind heart, even if a virile one, can mentally give Mary's face the real expression which it has in this moment. Jesus looks at her. Another expression, untranslatable into poor words. And he replies to her, "And you will pray for me in the hour of death." Yes, none of these understands. It is not their fault. Satan is creating fumes so that they may not see, that they may be like drunken people who do not understand, and therefore unprepared, and easier to bend. But you and I will save them, despite Satan's snares. Mother, I entrust them to you as from this moment. Remember these words of mine. I entrust them to you. I give you my inheritance. I have nothing upon the earth except a mother, and I offer her to God, victim with the victim, and my church, and I entrust it to you. Be her nurse. A short time ago, I was wondering in how many people in future the man of Kirioth will be reviving with all his faults. And I was thinking that anyone who were not Jesus would reject that faulty being. But I will not reject him. I am Jesus. During the time that you will remain on the earth, and you are second to Peter with regard to ecclesiastical hierarchy, he being the head, and you a believer, but first as mother of the church, having given birth to me, who am the head of this mystical body, do not reject the many Judases, but assist and teach Peter, my brothers John, James, Simon, Philip, Bartholomew, Andrew, Thomas, and Matthew, not to reject, but to assist. Defend me in my followers, and defend me from those who want to disperse and dismember the dawning church. And in future centuries, Mother, always be she who pleads for and protects, defends and helps my church, my priests, my believers, from evil and punishment, from themselves. How many Judases, O Mother, in future centuries? And how many will be like half-wits who cannot understand, or like blind and deaf people who cannot see or hear? or like cripples and paralytic people who cannot come. Mother, let them all be under your mantle. You alone can and will be able to change the punishment decrees of the Eternal Father for one soul or for many of them, because the Trinity will never be able to deny its flower anything. I will do that, son, as far as it depends on me. You may go to your goal in peace. Your mother is here to defend you in your church always. May God bless you, mother. Come, I will pick for you some calices of flowers full of scented water, and you will refresh your face with it as I did. Our Most Holy Father prepared them for us, and the birds have pointed them out to me. See how everything is useful in the orderly creation of God? This elevated tableland close to the lake, so fertile because of the mists of which rise from the Sea of Galilee, and of the tall trees which attract dew, allowing this luxuriance of herbs and flowers, even in the excessive summer heat. This abundant fall of dew to fill these calices so that his beloved children may wash their faces. That is what the Father has arranged for those who love him. Here, the water of God, in calices of God, to refresh the eve of the new paradise. And Jesus picks the very wide flowers, the name of which I do not know, and he pours into Mary's hands the water collected in them.